is the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello and welcome to the Rob Carson Show podcast. For you audio listeners, this is episode number 174. For those of you who are joining me via video, welcome to the show. I'm going to be with you for a little while today. For those of you who don't know who I am, and I'm sure many of you on Liberty One TV do not know who I am, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you, because it is an honor and a privilege to be here with some of the other great hosts on this this network, this free speech network. It's a glorious time to be in media, because there is a freedom of expression that is available to us without the FCC stepping in. You're going to see a lot of personalities that, you know, you've never seen before. You're going to hear a lot of things that you've never heard before. I'm really, really proud to be a part of this. So welcome to the show. As I said earlier, I'm Rob Carson. I am a talk show host. I do talk shows around the country from my glorious groovy studio here. On major talk radio stations everywhere, including WLS in Chicago, WBAP in Dallas. This morning, I was on in Richmond, Virginia, oddly enough. I also an audio and video podcaster and a nationally syndicated comedy writer. My views are libertarian-leaning conservative. When I said that I am a syndicated comedy writer, I say that because I write comedy for people around the country, including none other than Rush Limbaugh. I started writing for Mr. Limbaugh when I was a kid right out of college around 1990 and have written literally hundreds of pieces of satire for Mr. Limbaugh. It's been an honor and privilege to do that. And if you, by the way, have either one of his books, I've been featured in those books for some of my work. So before we get into the meat and potatoes of the day's events, and there's a lot of stuff to get to, particularly with regard to the NFL, I'm going to play a little comedy for you. How does that sound? All right. This is a parody I did for Rush a few years ago. I noticed that every day when you watch the news, we've got a new disease or disorder that Americans have. And if you add up all of the diseases, the disorders, the ADD, the depression, the whatever, we've all got at least 10 things, right? Well, what happens if you're just fine? Do you feel kind of left out? Here's a bit I did for Rush.
Everybody I know is being treated for something.
Do you feel left out?
My best buddy is bipolar. My kids have ADHD. My wife has adult anxiety.
Do you feel isolated?
I talked to psychologists, psychotherapists, even a psychic, but nobody could figure it out.
Looking for answers?
They all told me there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. I was crushed.
You might have disorder anxiety disorder syndrome caused by the realization that you are completely normal. Ask your doctor about Placebex or Nothing at All so you can have a syndrome to call your own. Placebex and Nothing at All. New from Smith Kline Blarney.
Now, I like to say that if you want to make a point, one of the best ways to do it is with humor. And that's what I try to do. And so I think during the show today, you're gonna notice that. I won't play you any more Rush stuff, but I will tell you, you can check out my podcast. I'm on iHeartRadio, iTunes, among other things as well. Just look up Rob Carson Show. Also available on Facebook at Rob Carson Show and on Twitter at Rob Carson. Boy, there's a whole lot of Carson there, right? Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL. I'm done. I'm done with this debate about sitting or standing during the national anthem. This all started with Colin Kaepernick last year. He didn't even want to be noticed, and I'm not a fan of his. Don't get me wrong here. I am not a fan of Colin Kaepernick. But it all started then. Then the spoiled, entitled ranks of the NFL decided to get in on this as well. Right now, we are a country divided for a number of reasons. Along race lines, mostly. it's a very strange time to live in America. Because there are those who would like to drag us back to 1968. There are those who would like to drag us back to 1861. And the country isn't upside down. Racism is not rampant in the country. There's always going to be racism. There's racism everywhere. There's racism in every country. Find a country that racism doesn't exist. You are looking for some sort of utopia that doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. On college campuses, they are segregating students of color in the name of equality. It doesn't make any sense. There are schools that have safe spaces where white people are not allowed. They have dormitories where only students of color stay. That's segregation, folks. Segregation in the name of equality is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. We've got a generation of people who have never gone through anything. You can call them the snowflake generation. You can call them millennials, whatever you want to call them. But by and large, these kids right now, this includes NFL players, have never had a crisis. They never have had a war. There are those who went to Afghanistan or Iraq and volunteered, but by and large, this generation is the most coddled generation in the history of our country. Okay? They have used hand sanitizer. They have had bike helmets. They've never known what it's like to be without a smartphone. And they need to create some sort of crisis, I guess, to feel like they are worth something. They need to create some sort of something in their lives to make them feel like they're a victim to some degree. That's what's happening in the NFL. And it is a selfish movement, okay? With regard to Colin Kaepernick, with regard to whoever is sitting or kneeling or whatever during the national anthem, there's no finish line. There is no finish line. There will never be enough. I was on this morning in Richmond, Virginia. They have an avenue there called the Avenue of the Monuments, the Monument Avenue. And it's lined with Confederate memorials. They want to get rid of these memorials, and it's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. There's a snowball has been created. For decades, people have ridden by or walked by these monuments. It hasn't meant anything, but this is the latest cultural meme. They have to go. They have to go. With regard to our national anthem, you've got football players kneeling or sitting. They don't even know what the hell for. I wish they would ask. I wish they would ask. Originally, it was about, I guess, police violence against black men, shooting black people, all right? Based on a lie, of course, which started in Ferguson and has continued. And there are those who think they want to make the country out to be some sort of a monster, I guess. And so they take a knee or they kneel or they whatever. There's no finish line. There's never going to be a point where these people who are protesting, whether it be the national anthem or whether it be Confederate monuments, there's always going to be something there. There's always going to be something to bitch about. There's always going to be something that makes somebody unhappy. And I think it's a selfish movement. I really, really do. Martin Luther King, he was a noble man, and he suffered greatly. And his movement was real. You're talking about the Jim Crow South. You're talking about segregated drinking fountains and much more. That was a real struggle. The thing that bothers me the most, my son, I've got a son who's almost 18 years old. And I remember when this all kind of started to roll a couple years ago. I was very concerned for him because he has never seen color. He doesn't give a crap about color. The school that he went to until he was about a sophomore in high school was, he was a minority. He was like 10% white at the school. He used to have his friends come over, and I called his group of friends the United Nations, because you got your black kids, you got your Indian friends, your kids, you got your Asian kids. They would make fun of race. They would make fun of race. Black kid would say to my son, "You can't dance and you can't jump." Ha ha ha. Asian kid says to the Indian kid, "Well, at least my dad doesn't work at a convenience store." And it was a joke. It's so beyond this generation. We don't have the Jim Crow South anymore. The Ku Klux Klan does exist, but it is a tiny fraction of a percent of the people in the country. It is honestly not even worth mentioning. The KKK. There is no rise of white supremacy. There is no rise of the KKK. Those who say it is, they brought that up during the campaign for the presidency, Donald Trump running for president, and the left Democrats needed to take things to a new level, needed to paint this threat to them as the worst thing you could possibly imagine, and that, of course, would be a white supremacist who's a racist. There's no evidence whatsoever of those things. And it continued to grow, and now that the election is over, now that some did not get their way, those who disagree, those who are conservative, those of you who are Trump supporters, you are now a white supremacist. In the White House, there are Nazis. I want you to stop for just a second and think about that. How absurd on the face of it is that somebody would say there are white supremacists and there are Nazis in our White House. Honestly, it is destructive. It is a lie. And I'm tired of hearing about it, to be quite honest. I would not have voted for Donald Trump had I thought he was a Nazi. It is so absurd on the face of it. But this sort of rhetoric is being used to go after political enemies. Charlottesville, yes, there were white supremacists there. And there was also the Antifa. Haven't heard much of the Antifa lately, have we? They were officially, I guess, considered a terrorist organization. We haven't heard much from them, which is good, because they are a terrorist organization. But we, particularly on the left, in fact, I'll say almost exclusively on the left, there is terminology that they use when one thing doesn't catch on or one name becomes essentially, people become tone deaf to it, like, for instance, racist, okay? Racist. When you use the word racist and there is no racism, you're crying wolf, and eventually it doesn't mean anything. I remember being on the radio in 1991 or so, and the word racism was being bandied about for those who disagreed politically with the left. You're a racist, then you're a sexist, then you're a homophobe. Now, none of those things are resonating. So they've moved into white privilege. We are privileged, I guess, if we're white. If I could tell you my background, you would not say I am from privilege. And then, of course, now white supremacist. You are a white supremacist. That's not resonating anymore because it's absurd. So now it's Nazi. I'm not sure exactly where we go from here, because it doesn't get any worse than calling someone a Nazi, right? I don't think so. I don't make things up about people on the left. I don't say that you are a Stalinist. I don't. I don't understand how you could just pull the word Nazi out of the air and call someone a Nazi. I don't understand why that's necessary. But unfortunately, it does happen. Now let's get into what happened over the weekend and last night. Over the weekend, 150 NFL stars sat or kneeled during the national anthem. There was a game in Wembley Stadium, And the Ravens of Jacksonville were there. And a bunch of the players took a knee instead of, in fact, all of them, I think, took a knee during their national anthem, but stood during God Save the Queen. This is a protest of what Donald Trump said over the weekend. You heard it. I got to tell you, I actually kind of liked the fact that he said it about the players. Here's something to think about. Right now, you've got players on the field who are kneeling and sitting during the national anthem. The American people aren't doing that. There is a gigantic divide between the NFL. By the way, there was a baseball player, a rookie baseball player, Bruce Maxwell. He's a catcher. And he took a knee during the national anthem over the weekend. He plays for the Oakland A's. He said, the point of my kneeling was not to disrespect our military or our constitution or our country. My hand was over my heart because I love the country and I have family members, including my father, who bled for this country and who continue to serve. At the end of the day, this is the best country on the planet. I am and forever will be an American citizen and grateful to be here. But my kneeling is what's getting the attention. And I'm kneeling for the people who don't have a voice. What the hell does that mean? I mean, what the hell does that mean? He said, this goes beyond the black and Hispanic communities because right now we have a racial divide that's being practiced from the highest power we have in the country, saying it's basically okay to treat people differently. This is stupid. This is nonsensical. It says, I'm kneeling for a cause, but I'm in no way disrespecting my country or my flag. Where's the finish line? I speak for those who don't have a voice. Who doesn't have a voice in the country? We have freedom of expression in our country. We have the First Amendment. I'm not sure who doesn't have a voice in the country, unless you just have laryngitis or something. This is just, to me, it's idiocy. It's a spoiled generation that needs to feel somehow victimized. Now I'm speaking for those who don't have a voice. Somebody tell me, please, who doesn't have a voice in the country? Who doesn't? I know a group of people who don't have a voice. Kids with Down syndrome in the womb. They don't have a voice. They're being systematically exterminated every day. But they don't have a voice. The unborn. I'd say the unborn, they don't have a voice. Right? Because we are able to abort them. I'm not going to make this about abortion, but honestly, if we're going to talk about who doesn't have a voice, I can't think of anybody else who doesn't have a voice. We are a concerned culture. We help out those in need. We hold 5Ks and car washes every weekend for charity for those who can't help themselves. But I think most of us have a voice. So again, kind of stupid. All right, so last night in Arizona, Dallas Cowboys are there. And Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys all decided to take a knee. Here is the audio from the crowd.
All right, Lisa, as they take a knee collectively, boos can be heard from this sellout crowd in Arizona.
Now, there's the divide. You hear the boos from the crowd? You've got the players in solidarity taking a knee. This didn't happen during the anthem, by the way, and I give credit to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys for not kneeling during the national anthem. But the crowd overwhelmingly booed the move to take a knee. The American people are not behind the NFL with regard to this. They are not behind this. The American people, you and I, we want players to stand during the national anthem. There's nothing wrong with it. There never has been anything wrong with it. There's never been anything wrong with the national anthem playing and the feeling that you get. And every time I've been to a sporting event and the national anthem is played, I'll take my hat off and I get goosebumps. I still get choked up when I hear the national anthem. There was nothing ever wrong with that. That is a unifying moment for all of us. Now, Jordan Sparks is an American Idol winner, and she sang the national anthem. I'll play a little bit of it, but I thought it was really neat that after Jerry Jones and the Cowboys took a knee, they stood up, arm in arm. That's fine. Show your solidarity, you millionaires. But here's the announcer and a little bit of Jordan Sparks.
Fans, we honor our nation's flag and the men and women of our armed forces who have sacrificed so much to ensure our freedoms. We invite you to unite as well and do the same with your fellow fans, regardless of jersey color.
Good.
Please welcome singer and songwriter Jordan Sparks, who will now lead us in the singing of our national anthem.
Listen to the crowd.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Okay, I won't play the entire song here. I'll go to the very end of it here with Jordan Sparks.
Or the land of the free. In the home of the brave.
There you go, there you go. All right, so that was last night. I had heard some ignoramuses in the news media. One of them is Mr. Keith Olbermann, who can't find a job because he's such a bastard. He, over the weekend, wanted NFL fans to remain seated during the national anthem to protest the president. This guy is such just a douche. I mean, a gigantic, gigantic douche. Nobody's paying attention to the guy. I wouldn't bring it up, but I have to. Said, this is simple. To defend our right to protest, we as fans, consumers, also must not stand during the national anthem until Trump's threat ends. Did you sit down? Did anybody in the stadium sit down? Did anybody sit down? No, because Olbermann's an idiot douche. Just honestly, wow, to think that he is asking people to do something like anybody would pay any attention whatsoever to Keith Olbermann. Here are some fans in Chicago being interviewed about the national anthem. Again, you've got this weekend. And hopefully this has jumped the shark. I think it has jumped the shark. But here are some fans outside of Soldier Field talking about the national anthem and sitting or standing.
It's a show of disrespect, not only for those that have fought and died for our country, but those are currently serving. And I disagree with it.
I think that the message you're sending is, as a unit, you're a team. You are a team player. That's very awesome. But at the same time, you're facing a nation. Like, it's nation versus team in that point.
I think personally that, you know, they should stand up for the national anthem. That's just my personal opinion. I do respect the players' rights to take the knee. However, Soldier Field has history, you know, and when they didn't come.
It is called Soldier Field, by the way, for a reason.
Not, I was surprised. I think it was just disrespectful, and it now it's made into a bigger issue than it really was. It went from one person now to a whole team. And any type of funding or whatever that's happening with the government should be pulled away from the NFL.
To me, one, had a brother, lost his life in the war. And to see somebody not be respectful to do that, I always have been a firm believer there's two sides to every story, but not to know their side of the story is killing me because of the fact it seemed disrespectful. So I'm going to have to get their side of the story to make my unbiased opinion. But I will say this. For the sake of God, we're in Soldier Field. If you're going to stand for the flag and for the national anthem, this is where you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. When I think of the national anthem and I hear it at a sporting event, I think about those people who could not be there. Those who died in battle on foreign soil. Young people who gave up their lives. So to me, it's a privilege to be there. It's a privilege to be there with that song playing. I can't get past, you know, could you imagine losing your life at age 22? Dying on a battlefield thousands away, miles away from home, not being able to say goodbye to your loved ones. It's happened thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And thereby, but by the grace of God, go I. And so when I hear that anthem, I think about them. I think about them. Chris Collinsworth believes that Donald Trump should apologize for calling those who kneel or sit during the national anthem, calling them SOBs. Here he is this weekend.
I would say he should apologize. They're not SOBs.
Yeah,
they're smart, thoughtful guys.
Not
they really are. They've seen things that are unimaginable.
I know. You know what? You know what's unimaginable? To me, making over $1 million a year. That's unimaginable to me and a lot of people, or let alone $15 million or $20 million a year, or getting a three-year contract worth $30 million or a five-year contract worth $100 million. That's unimaginable.
In some cases. And they want exactly what the president wants. They want a better America. Their version of how to get there is different than the president's. I understand that. But I guarantee you, if the president invited, I can make a list of 10 guys to the White House and heard their stories and heard their thoughts and heard how concerned they are about America, that they would find a common ground and they would move this forward. And I think an apology for the SOB comment right off the top would go a long way.
Okay. There's no race crisis in the country. This is made up of whole cloth. All of this is made up. This started with Black Lives Matter. This started with Ferguson, Missouri. All of this is made up. It is not 1968 all over again. I don't give a rat's ass what an NFL player has gone through. He's making millions and millions of dollars, and he lives in the United States of America. He is a part of an elite group of people. And you know what? Once you get to that level, don't bitch about it. I think that Donald Trump said what America is thinking. Get off your butt. Stand up. Pay some respect. You know, it's like that kid you see in the, sitting down or maybe in church misbehaving. You want to smack him upside the head. That's what the American people want to do to NFL players who sit during the national anthem. It's a made-up crisis. It's a giant load of crap. It just is. It just is. Now, one other thing that I want to mention, and I mentioned this in a podcast the other day. The NFL players do not have the right to sit or kneel during the national anthem. They do not have the right to do it. You're going, really? What? No, they don't. They have the ability to. The NFL players have the ability to sit or kneel. Do you know why that is? Because Roger Goodell says you can do it. By not saying anything, by allowing it to happen, he is saying you can kneel or you can sit. There are a million ways that NFL players cannot express their First Amendment rights. When you are an employee, you do not have freedom of speech at work. You don't. If you work at Best Buy, you have to wear that goofy blue shirt. If you don't wear the goofy blue shirt, if you show up one day with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on, they will tell you to go change or you're fired. Same way if you're working at Walmart. You come in, you don't have your blue vest, you will be given a blue vest. If you decide you're not going to wear the blue vest, you will be fired. They call uniforms uniforms for a reason, because everybody is uniform. Not only does it make everyone uniform, it also ensures that we know who you are. You are an employee of whatever. A UPS guy wears brown shorts and a short sleeve shirt. That's just the worst. I mean, just the worst, honestly. Brown, tucked in. You got your brown shorts and you got your, just not brown shirt. Just not. But that's what this is all about. Roger Goodell could easily say, you stand during the national anthem. That is policy. That's it. So right now, NFL players do not have the right to sit or kneel. They have the ability to sit or kneel. I was reading this piece this morning about the NFL rule book. It specifically requires both teams appear on the field for the playing of the national anthem. This is according to the rule book. You have to stand or remain silent, holding their helmets in their left hands. Failure to do so could result in fines, suspensions, and the loss of draft picks. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? The rules are found on pages A62 and 63 of the league's game operations manual. It says the national anthem must be played prior to every NFL game, and all players must be on the sideline for the national anthem. During the national anthem, players on the field and bench area should stand at attention, face the flag, hold helmets in left hand, refrain from talking. The home team should ensure that the American flag is in good condition. It should be pointed out to players and coaches that we continue to be judged by the public in this area of respect for the flag in our country. Failure to be on the field at the start of the national anthem will result in discipline such as fines, suspensions, and or forfeiture of draft choices for violations of the above. That's it. Last year, the NFL barred the Dallas Cowboys from wearing a decal on their helmet, honoring the five police officers killed in a domestic terror attack, BLM, thank you. Also, the NFL banned the Tennessee Titans linebacker Avery Williamson from honoring 9/11 victims by wearing cleats that read 9/11/01 and never forget on the 15th anniversary of the attack. So there are a million ways that the National Football League and its players are not able to or not allowed to express their First Amendment rights. They have to do some things. This could all end by Roger Goodell just saying, you got to stand during the anthem. It's kind of like a parent who refuses to discipline their child. You know, it doesn't kind of remind you, it's like, if my son didn't stand during the national anthem, I'd smack him upside the head. And I'd say, you stand up, you take your hat off. That's what Roger Goodell needs to do with these spoiled children in the NFL. Democrat Representative Donna Edwards of Maryland tweeted that she hopes NFL players kneel during the national anthem. She says she calls Trump a white supremacist who squats in our White House. That's what she says. She asked everybody, all the players, to kneel during the national anthem. And yeah, you ever notice this? You ever notice that the people who want people to sit or kneel during the national anthem, they all have a D in front of their name? They do. Alejandro Villanueva. You know who that is? This guy who's a Pittsburgh Steeler over the weekend. He walked out of the tunnel, kind of like Mean Joe Green in the Coke commercial, during the national anthem. He walked out and he stood there and he put his hand on his heart while the Pittsburgh Steelers stayed in the locker room, which, by the way, again, not allowed by the NFL, but they're able to get away with it, I guess. He was a Army Ranger, by the way, served three tours in Afghanistan, was awarded the Bronze Star for valor. Pretty amazing guy. He was signed with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2014, became a Steeler not soon thereafter. He has since backtracked on this and said, and I don't know where this came from, he has said that it was a mistake, that he didn't know what was going on. That's a load of crap. He came out purposefully because he respects the flag. He's a patriot. I think he's getting heat from his brothers in the NFL. And now he's backtracking on it and say, oh, it was an accident. No, this doesn't accidentally happen. You don't walk out of the tunnel to the field without your team unless it's on purpose. That said, his jersey number and his jersey soared to a number one as far as sales are concerned around the country, even surpassing Mr. Tom Brady. Did you know that?
Yeah.
The American people want players to stand. They respect players who stand. They don't respect those who sit or kneel during the national anthem. Just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So, you know, if you decide you want to kneel, you do so at your own peril. This is kind of an off the subject kind of story. New England Patriots fans on Sunday reportedly complained that the stadium was charging them $4.50 for cups of tap water. Apparently, they ran out of bottled water, so they were doing tap water, and it was 86 degrees in the stadium, I guess. and fans needed a glass of water. So the concession stand is not equipped with complimentary water cups. So the workers filled soda cups, and they charged $4.50. Team spokesman Stacy James says, "We apologize. This should not have happened." Is this a big surprise? Well, there was one guy. One guy said that he spent $45 on water, on tap water, at the stadium. You know, if you get a cup and you just go into the bathroom, there's a sink there. You just go in and you I don't know if maybe he doesn't know, but you just turn. Usually the one on the right is the cold water and the other one is the left one is the hot water. And if you just turn it counterclockwise, water comes out of this thing. It's sink. It's called a tap. And you could fill your glass with water and then drink the water. But some moron decided to go back to the concession stand 10 times and pay $4.50 for tap water. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, by the way, I had mentioned Jordan Sparks. She had a reference to the book of Proverbs written on her hand. Prov 31:8-9, which says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." Again, this is the latest incarnation of this this protest. It is about speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Okay, that's great. I mean, listen. I admire her for putting a reference to the Bible there. But who are you speaking for? Who doesn't have a voice? I want to know. Like I said, the only people I know that really don't have a voice are the unborn. Okay, all right. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. This line's going to be out there, and everybody had it this weekend. Anthony Weider gets hard time. There I said it. Anthony Weider got a stiff dose of reality. This is according to the New York Post. God bless the New York Post. It is Gotham's newspaper. Got a stiff dose of reality as he judge slapped him with a nearly 2-year sentence for sexting a 15-year-old girl. The man is just a creep. I mean, obviously. He faced up to 10 years in prison. He hung his head in shame, covered his face, and cried silently into his hands. This man is so ill. He threw away his life. He threw away his child and his wife. He is a sick man. He lost a mayoral race. He continued to do this. He had the opportunity to get out of this. Sydney Leathers was the original woman he sexted. And then even though he, like I said, nearly ended his political career because of that, and then went ahead and knowingly sexted a 15-year-old. He knew the girl was 15. I won't bother to read some of the things that he said to her, but the man is a sick person, and I would venture to say he still isn't fixed. I would venture to say that he would continue this sort of behavior, and he probably will when he gets out of jail. He's a sick man. He's a very sick man. So Megyn Kelly had her debut yesterday on NBC. I don't understand why she's a big deal. I kind of liked her on Fox. It wasn't destination television for me. I'm not sure why they decided that she should have her own personality show when she doesn't have a lot of personality. I mean, doesn't particularly have a sense of humor that I know of. I could be wrong. At the same time, she was pushed out of the nest into a national show, which is probably not terribly easy to do. Oprah Winfrey was able to do it. She had a very watchable show. She did it for a number of years. This woman is no Oprah Winfrey. She is no Oprah Winfrey. Critics of the show said that she's the bride of Frankenstein. The show was panned by critics. She's accused of totally failing to connect with her audience. Now, this is one of the things that I say about being an entertainer. I like to say content or connection is as important as content. Megyn Kelly doesn't connect. She is, I think, a prima donna. Most people would consider her a prima donna. And Oprah Winfrey connected with people. She did. Ellen DeGeneres connects with people. Jay Leno connects with people. Megyn Kelly reads a teleprompter. She's a lawyer. She's smart. She wears very tight clothing. She's blonde. Fox News loves that. And listen, I love Fox News. Don't get me wrong. But if you are a woman on Fox News and you're not absolutely drop dead centerfold gorgeous, you will never go anywhere there. I think the only person I've ever seen on there who's not a nothing against Leslie Marshall, but she's not the standard bearer. It seems that, and this to me, by the way, just off subject here, back, and we'll play a little audio from her. It is very, very hard right now for someone to break into conservative punditry if they're a woman, unless they're not ungodly hot. That's just it. The left is populated by, we'll say maybe, frumpier looking, I'm thinking of Rachel Maddow. She's not an ugly person, but she's not, Megyn Kelly, for a variety of reasons, by the way. But it seems that those who are very attractive, particularly blonde, tight skirts, showing lots of leg, they can move up very quickly in Fox News or in conservative punditry. I use Kat Timpf. Kat Timpf is a smart person. I get it. She's fine. She's a star because she's really hot and she's a conservative. That's it. You've got people in their 20s getting major contracts. I like to consider myself to be some degree a pundit. But I'm not 20 something anymore. And so it's kind of, kind of a tough road to hoe when you're a white guy, particularly. That said, Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly did her broadcast premiere. Here she is yesterday, introducing herself.
I am Megyn Kelly. Thank you all so much for being here. I'm so excited. So excited. I'm also a little nervous. Bear with me, please. I am so grateful to all of you that you're here as part of our first audience, you in the studio and you at home as well. As you've heard, we have the entire cast of Will and Grace here live along with the show creators.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And then we will be dissecting the latest tweet from President Trump. Oh, no, we would not do that. No, we will not be doing that. The truth is, I am kind of done with politics for now.
Okay, all right. There you go. Now you can tell the audience has been fluffed pretty majorly there, because nothing she said there was that extraordinary, that funny, or otherwise. But clearly they are fluffing the audience. And if you ever been to one of those talk shows, they do. They get somebody there and they fire people up and they tell you when to laugh and they tell you when to applaud and they tell you when to make some noise and they get people worked into a lather. And then out comes Megyn Kelly, who's not particularly compelling or connective in any way, and then the show happens. But anyway, like I said, a lot of critics are saying it was bad. I didn't get a chance to see the entire thing. What I did see felt fairly stilted and uncomfortable to some degree. Listen, I know it's her first time, okay? This is my first time doing this for you. I hope that I haven't appeared stilted or not funny. Okay. So did you hear the woman who went into Hobby Lobby last week, took a picture of a cotton plant? There was a cotton plant, the stick of the cotton, and then it had cotton balls on it. Just they trimmed it, and it's supposed to be a decoration. And she went on to social media and said basically it was, she said, this decor is so wrong on so many levels. There was nothing decorative about raw cotton, a commodity which was gained at the expense of African-American slaves. I'm assuming she was wearing some sort of cotton item, unless she wears polyester. Also, did you know that money is made out of cotton? Yeah, American currency is made out of cotton. She said, a little sensitivity goes a long way. Please remove this decor. Again, her name, Danielle Ryder. Obviously, here's a person who has not been victimized but needs to feel like a victim. You may also recall that slaves picked tobacco, but I think they still sell cigarettes. The last time I went to a convenience store. She's not backing down on this, by the way. She's not backing down. Even though she looks like a complete and utter moron, she's not backing down. Here she is talking about the kerfuffle she caused by saying that cotton was a symbol of slavery.
It doesn't represent a decoration to me. It represents a time of oppression for my people.
Her post exploded overnight, receiving hundreds...
For my people. You never hear that from white guys. My people. You know, who are my people? But
hundreds of thousands of shares and comments from people around the world, most of which are overwhelmingly negative.
I was not trying to be divisive. If I was trying to be divisive,
really?
I would have said something to the effect of talking about the world, talking about race relations, talking about an individual. I am a consumer talking to a retailer, and all I said was I found something offensive. If you really want the country to heal, then you need to be mindful of how you speak. Words have power. It's no longer about the raw cotton. The cotton is off the shelf and racism remains there.
Okay, yeah, racism is always going to be there. And I would venture to say you probably are more racist than anybody that could possibly imagine. This is a woman who has a gigantic race chip on her shoulder. She is offended by everything. Everything she sees is through the lens of race. So I would venture to say that she is probably the most racist person she knows. She just doesn't realize it yet. She just doesn't realize it because all she does is hate. All she does is hate. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some other stuff, shall we? This is kind of funny. We were talking about the NFL and contestants on Jeopardy last night. You know, they're geeks, right? Contestants on Jeopardy. I watch Jeopardy. I enjoy the show. There are some categories that I can completely kick butt at, and then there are some that I just, there's no way. I'd look like a complete and utter moron. But apparently, these smart nerds on Jeopardy don't know anything about football. Here they are being asked questions about the NFL.
NFL teams two.
Defensive tackle Mean Joe Green. Played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yvonne.
NFL team six.
Running back, Marcus Allen. Anupama.
What is Colorado Rockies?
No.
The Colorado Rockies. That is spectacular. That's a baseball team.
Sorry. Dennis Raymond. Who are the Los Angeles Raiders?
Yes, yes, yes. So there you go. Not terribly smart with regard to popular culture, but I'm sure if they were classic literature or physics, it would have been would have had a big win. Anyway, oh, by the way, you know, Halloween is coming up. Have you been to the store lately? All the candy's out. All of the decorations are out. I'm usually one of those guys who I have two bowls of candy that I keep in my home. One of them is the big bowl with the big full-size candy bars. One of the reasons why I do that is because I remember being without when I was a kid. And we would go into my hometown, a little town in Iowa called Neola, Iowa. And there were one or two places that would give out a full-size candy bar. And to me, that was rich. You were rich. If you could give out a full-size candy bar... And not just Smarties or Dum Dums or Tootsie Pops or, you know, mini sticker bars, whatever. You are rich if you could do that. And I always said that, and not because I'm rich, because I'm certainly not rich. But I always said that I would do that because it meant so much to me as a kid. So I have the full size candy bars, and then I have the second bowl, which has the bite size stuff. And the Dum Dums and the Smarties and the, you know, things like that. And the Smarties are okay. But the kids who are really polite and they have great costumes and they say please and thank you, they get the big candy bar. And those who don't, you get the dots and the milk duds. Nothing against those things. Nothing against them. That's just the way it is in my house. So... here's what's going on. $9 billion is what America is going to spend on Halloween this year. Number one costume. Think about this. How long has Batman been around? Batman has been around forever. It is cross-generational. Number one costume. Number one costume. Right behind it is a princess of some sort. Or you could be Batman identifying as a princess. There could be that too. Some sort of an animal costume would be the third. Spider-Man would be the fourth most popular. Star Wars characters after that, and then other action hero characters are on the list. This according to the National Retail Federation. Bloomberg Business Week. That's what they're saying. $9 billion pet costumes. 16% of people are planning on putting their pets in costumes. 16% of people in the country are gonna do pet costumes. Could you believe that? Wow, really? Okay. So I don't decorate the dogs. We've got three dogs, and I don't decorate the dogs. I don't put them in a costume. Maybe when I'm an empty nester and I just want to get candy, I'll take the dog out, you know, and go up the street. Anyway, here are the most popular costumes, according to the National Retail Foundation, for your pet. Does anybody dress up their goldfish or their turtle? Is it all just dogs? Cats aren't crazy about the costumes. I'm assuming this is mostly just dogs. Number 10, you dress them up as a cat. I guess you're dressing up your dog as a cat. Ghost. Batman. Batman's number 8 on this list. The Devil is number 7. Bumblebee is number 6. Bumblebee and Ladybug are really big with newborns. I remember when my kids were little, it was Bumblebee or Ladybug that first year, and you could use them to get candy. Because they won't remember it, and they can't eat candy. So you just go around with your kid, and you say trick-or-treat, and then you get the candy. Pirate is number 5 for the pet costume. Lion is number 4. A dog. Dog is the number 3 costume. This is, of course, I guess, for a cat. Who takes their cat? Do you take it? Would you take a cat trick-or-treating? Cats can't be on leashes. Unbelievable. Hot dog is number 2. That, of course, if you have a dachshund. And the number 1 costume for pets this year is the pumpkin. Dressing your pet like a pumpkin. Before I go, I've got a couple other stories I want to mention too. Madonna's new album arrived. Yeah, they call them albums still, right? I haven't. Do you buy CDs? Do you buy albums? I download a song. I haven't downloaded an album in a long time. The new Foo Fighters is out. I kind of want to do that. Anyway, her new live CD called Rebel Heart. Listen to this. It just sold 3,848 CDs and downloads, according to Buzz Angle and HitsDailyDouble.com. It has no streaming that was reported, but think about that. This is a woman who, first of all, insufferable, absolutely wretched, awful person. Can't stand her. It's taken a very long time for us to arrive where Madonna is no longer relevant, and she is thrashing because she is now irrelevant. She's trying all sorts of stuff as an almost 60-year-old woman, flashing her crotch and her breasts, and it's actually kind of embarrassing. 3,848 CDs and downloads, according to Buzz Angle. All right. I don't buy CDs anymore. Who does that? Who does that? I've got my my iTunes. It's kind of funny, actually. Kids now, when you go to the gym, everybody's listening to Spotify on their phone, right? Okay. So here's the phone. This is my iPhone 6S Plus, which is like a year and a half old, so it's ancient technology. And I still have a little iPod. I've had every generation of iPod. And I still carry this little iPod about the size of a stick of gum. It's got about 500 songs on it. And I'm like that person. It's kind of weird. I remember a few years ago, you'd see the last few people still with a Sony Discman. All right? This is like a decade ago. And you'd see some old fart with the Sony Discman. A big thing hanging on there, and you know, going to the next track and all that stuff. Well, I guess I'm that person now, because I'm the only person at the gym who still has an iPod. What would you rather have? This strapped to your arm, or a little thing the size of a stick of gum? And kids might even know, not even know what a stick of gum is anymore. Anyway, I want to thank you guys very much for joining me today. Once again, I want to thank this network for having me on, Liberty One TV. I am very privileged that I was selected for this. And I promise you that every day of the week, you are going to get an entertaining video podcast with lots of information. Hopefully you'll think. Hopefully you will laugh as well. In the meantime, if you'd like to check me out on Facebook, it is Rob Carson Show. On Twitter, it is Rob Carson. If you'd like to download my audio podcast every single day, it is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, Google Plus. What else? YouTube. I'm on YouTube as well. In the meantime, God bless you, and we'll see you again real soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.